You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, turn with me if you will. I want to continue something I started last Wednesday. Actually, I started teaching on this last Wednesday. I went ahead and taught it Sunday at Center Christian Fellowship because I figured they needed it. This is good. So let's just lay some groundwork real quick, and I've got some other scriptures I want to get to. I start out with Matthew 1, verse 21, where this is where Joseph was contemplating what he was going to do. You know, Mary had a visitation, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost, and here's Joseph who was supposed to marry her, and Joseph's thinking, man, I don't know if I want to marry her or not. She's with child, and you know, this is not my child, and that's what he's thinking. See, he doesn't realize it's from God. She may have told him that, but he doesn't know. I mean, he hasn't had a vision. God hadn't spoke to him. This has never happened before. Are you with me? And so while he's thinking on this, he has a dream, and an angel comes and visits him and says, Joseph, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived or born of her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he tells him what to name that child. Of course, we know the story. It's an old story. You know it. That child was Jesus. That was God with us. God had visited us through Mary. And the angel told Joseph in the 21st verse, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah, somebody. Jesus has saved us from our sins. He's a Savior. That's what Jesus means. The word Jesus is just Old Testament Joshua, same word. It just means deliverer or savior. And so what Jesus did, came along, he saved us from our sin. Now here sometimes is the confusion. I think a lot of us think of Jesus saving us in terms of missing hell and going to heaven. Now that surely is true. He did save us from hell. And we definitely are going to heaven. Amen. Are you with me? But that's not what he's saying here. That's not what he's talking about here. That is part of the package. That's a benefit. That definitely comes with it. Are you with me? You out there?
Yeah.
Okay. We are not going to hell. Hallelujah, we're going to heaven because of Jesus shed blood. But see, he came to save us from our sins. Not from the penalty of our sin, which was hell. He came to save us from our sins. The bondage of our sins, the torment of our sins. And so now, hallelujah, I don't have to go to hell, yes, but hallelujah, I don't have to keep sinning. Well, you know, we're Christians. That doesn't mean we're perfect. We're just forgiven. Well, I'm sorry, we're more than just forgiven. We haven't just been given a clean slate. We haven't just been given a price paid or a ticket to heaven. We've been given power over sin.
That's right. Amen.
Woo-hoo! Yeah,
amen.
I've been delivered from sin. This is good news, because if you've got an anger issue, that's called sin, you know. You got power over that anger. You can call on Jesus, and you can be saved from it.
Amen.
Let's just put a name on it. Jesus came, they shall call his name Jesus, for he has saved us from anger.
Yeah.
He will save his people from adultery. He will save his people from lying and from stealing. See, God doesn't hate you. That's not the point I'm making here. And we're not here to hammer you on the head. All of us have sinned. We got no stones to throw. Everybody in here has sinned. And probably everybody in here is working on something. Hello.
Amen.
But I got good news for you. If you'll call on Jesus, he'll help you because he came to save you from it.
Amen.
You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to keep doing it. You don't have to keep coming back with that same old sin. Here I am, Lord, just coming with this same old sin. One day, Lord, I know I get to heaven and I'll be free. But down here, I'm just in bondage to this thing. Well, no, praise God, Jesus came to save you from it right here.
Amen.
You can be delivered.
Yeah.
You can be set free.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to save you from your sin. You know, something happened to me when I got saved. Of course, I was forgiven, sure. But, you know, he saved me from my sin. I don't live the way I used to live. Now, I hadn't been perfect. I've had to repent of things. But the more I get into the Word and cry out to God, the more I begin to overcome. And the better I get at this thing, serving God, living right, living holy. Takes some effort. Takes some belief, some faith. It takes some commitment and some diligence. Are you with me? But if you're willing to make the trip, Jesus will go with you. Amen. If you're willing to turn around, if you're willing to repent and come to him, he'll help you. This is why he came. He came to deliver us, to save us. Why? Because we were in bondage. and we were in torment, and we were captivated by our sin. You ever seen anybody addicted to sin? I've seen it over and over and over. You know, we've got all kinds of rehabs out there, and rightly so, they need those. There are some good ones. Are you in? There's some good Christian rehabilitation centers. Why? Because people get addicted to sin, whether it's adultery, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs. It can be pornography. You hear a lot about that now. I don't like to belabor things like that, but it's an issue. We know it's there. It's a sin. But you know, the good news is you can be delivered from it. Yeah. Don't buy that lie. I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Yeah. You can help yourself. Hallelujah. You can help yourself to Jesus. Amen. You can call on Jesus and He can help you. Amen. That's why He came. Well, I just get so mad and I get so angry and I just lose control. I just, you know, just the way I am, it's just that hot Latin blood, or it's that Irish blood. Or it's just, you know, I'm a Williams, and you know how those Williams are. Well, listen, I'm a born-again child of God.
That's right.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Those excuses won't fly anymore. I need to come to God with that sin and ask God to forgive me and overcome this thing. Yes. Your children need you to serve God.
Yes.
Your husband, your wife needs you to serve God. Your parents need you to live holy and live right. You need, see, God's against sin because what it does to you. He knows what it does to us. It destroys marriages. It destroys children. It destroys churches and cities and lives and ministries and so on and so forth. It is a reproach to any people. That's not a hellfire brimstone sermon. But this is a sermon about living for God. This is a sermon about living holy and living right. Amen. But it's one with hope. It's not one with condemnation. The Bible never meant to condemn you. The Bible meant to judge the sin, yes, but release the sinner from it. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Amen.
Woo! Delivered. That's actually the 17th verse. John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that He gave. See, God doesn't hate sinners. He doesn't hate people in sin. He doesn't hate you when you sin. He hates that sin, and He wants to release you from that sin. But He cannot do it unless you call on Him. Now, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Well, from sickness, from disease, from sin. Saved from sin, hallelujah. From hell, yes, but saved from my sin. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God wants you saved. He wants you delivered. He wants you set free. Hallelujah. He wants you to overcome. Amen. In fact, that's what He did in John 8. Just real quickly, in John the 8th chapter, without going over all those verses, this is a verse we often quote about being free, getting in the Word, and finding out how free we get from the Word. John 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, there's the good news. See, the bad news is nothing you can do about this. That's not the truth. The truth is there is something you can do about it. Well, I can't help myself. That's just the way I am. That's a lie. Don't you buy the lie. Praise God, Jesus came to set you free. You can do this thing. You can do this because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. You've got the victory through Christ Jesus, and the Bible says He always causes us to triumph in Christ. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. You shall know the truth will make you free. Notice what the Pharisees said. They answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Y'all get it? What's He setting us free from?
Sin.
Hallelujah. He came to set me free from sin.
Amen.
I got good news if you're sinning. I hope somebody in here is sinning because I got good news for you. Are you with me? No, really. I mean, I got great news. Not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you, praise God, you came tonight. You can come out of your sin.
Amen.
This is what you've been looking for. Jesus came to free you from your sin.
Right. Amen.
And when you know the truth will make you free.
Yes, it will.
Make you free from that sin you've been hanging on to or it's been hanging on to you. That sin you've been in bondage to and wrapped up and tied up with. See, you come along here and you find out what Jesus has done and you realize the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Hallelujah. So he said this. He said, whoever commits sins is a slave of sin, 35th and 36th verse. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
From what? From sin.
Amen.
From sin. Hallelujah. I'm free from sin. I don't have to keep sinning. Woo! Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then in Romans 6, I'll just look at one verse there. These verses, some of these I went over last Wednesday. I've got several I want to get to tonight. I'm not going to keep you all night, but I want to keep you long enough where you're too tired to go home and sin. Romans, notice this in the 6th chapter. Notice what he says in the 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Wow. How many times has that not been the case, it seems like? I mean, this sin gets a hold of us and we give in to it. It's amazing. When you give in to a sin, the more you give in to it, the more you are captivated by it and overcome by it and eventually become a slave to it. But the good news is you can break free.
Amen.
We got a song we sing. Break free, break free, get up and dance. And His love, you just need to break free and get up and dance.
Amen.
Amen. You need to come to Jesus like the song we sang tonight. Take it all. Take it all. Give it all to Him and He will set you free. Nobody's pointing a finger. Nobody's mad. No one's upset. No one's looking down at you. We all have been there. We all deal with it. But the one thing is common to us all. We have a Savior who has come to save us from our sin. Hallelujah. And you can be saved from your sin. That's the good news. That's what we preach. That's what we minister. Are you with me? Don't let sin have dominion over you. Don't you let it. Don't you let it. You, your choice, your decision. It's your choice to give up. It's your choice to give in. It's your choice to stand up or be counted. It's your choice to let it continue. It's your choice to let it go.
Hallelujah.
And the good news is you can let it go.
Amen.
This is what Jesus came to do. We talk about Jesus and His ministry and what He's about and why He came. This is why He came. He came because we were in slavery. He came because we were in bondage. He came because we didn't have an out in many cases. But in this case, praise God, He is our out. He came to give us an out. He came to help us overcome our sin. Not just forgive us of it. Not just release us from the penalty of it. Not just save us from hell, but save us from our sin.
Amen.
Y'all get it? I mean, if He was just, if it said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from hell." Well, I got it. I understand it. And He does do that. I know that. But that's not what it says. It says He'll save us from our sins. Woo! Hallelujah. And if you think God's just about forgiveness, you are missing the boat here. He's more than that. He's a whole lot more than forgiveness. He is about overcoming sin, not just forgiving it. He wants you to overcome it. He wants to make you an overcomer. God's not about Band-Aids. Putting Band-Aids on these things. Or just He's not about just bailing us out of jail every time we mess up. Thank God He does. Thank God He does bail us out. Thank God He does forgive us. But He's a lot more than just that. And really, you've got a very limited view of God if you just see Him as just a forgiver, just someone who releases us from the penalty of our sin. He came down to free us from our sin. Woo! In fact, 1 John 2, turn there. 1 John 2, free. I am free from sin. I don't have to sin. How dare I go sin? How dare I go sin? See, you might start out bad, but you know, people don't remember how you start out. They remember how you end. We all might have had bad starts, but we can end this thing a little better than we started out with. That's good, or that goes positive or negative. I think of ministries that have done tremendous work all around the world that got in some sin and just ruined their ministry. And you know what? You mention their name and everybody remembers that sin. Because that's the way they ended it. Hello. People need to see us end this thing on a high note. They need to see us end our life serving God all the days of our life. Amen. We need to be examples, role models all the way through. that there's longevity in the body of Christ. There's longevity in marriages. There's longevity, you know, in service to God. There's longevity in serving, walking holy, and living right. You know, I think the world's just walking around looking, watching like a bunch of hawks for ministries to fall so they can just say, hey, I told you that stuff wasn't real. And for every one that falls, there's thousands that never fell that you never hear about and never makes the news because they just want to blast the one that fell. And see, that stuff doesn't work. It's no different than anything else. It's a lie. It does work. Jesus came to free us from our sin. And we got a church full of people right here been delivered from sin. I'm going to tell you what, I got delivered from sin when I got saved. I was born again, yes, washed in the blood, no question, a new creature in Christ Jesus. But you know what? I didn't just get forgiven. I was delivered from sin. Now, I've sinned, you know, since then, not greatly, but I mean, there are things I've had to work with. I'm not perfect, and you're not either. But you know what? I don't live the way I used to live because I got delivered. I got saved from it. I don't even want to do that anymore. Hello. 1 John 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Wow. I thought, wait, you hear that? My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not, that you may not sin. Why did he write this? He wrote this so we wouldn't have to keep sinning. See, if you get in the Word and find out the truth, you find out you don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to keep flying off the handle if that's the case. You don't have to keep gossiping if that's the case. You don't have to, you know, keep doing drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be. I mean, the list is endless. We can go through it. But here's the good news. You don't have to keep doing that. I mean, we're not here to just say it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. We know it's wrong. You can see the devastation that it causes. But that's not the point. The point is we're here to say you don't have to.
That's right.
Jesus came to set you free from it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Come on now. Since Jesus washed. Come on. You know it. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, I want to tell you it's a happy day. Okay. All right. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Okay. So what he did here, he did so we wouldn't have to keep sinning.
Yeah.
I write these things to you that you sin not. Isn't that good? Now here's the good news, and we often miss out on it. In fact, I think it's sometimes a tragedy and sham in many cases that preachers will get up, and I are a preacher. I'm not blasting churches. I'm not up here just running people down. Take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. I'm just addressing this issue here. Many times in churches, all we talk about is forgiveness. All we talk about is we're all old sinners, saved by grace. All we talk about is how bad we are. And we talk about, thank God he saved us from our sins. And they're talking about forgiveness. That's all they're talking about. Thank God one day, this whole wicked, evil world, evil, wicked, corrupt body, this flesh we're in, this corruptible flesh that pulls and tugs at us, that you give into and I give into, because we are just old sinners, worms of the dust we are, unworthy that we are. One day, hallelujah, hello, and we don't say, praise God, we don't have to sin anymore.
Amen.
You can overcome your anger, you can overcome that addiction, you can overcome because you are an overcomer.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. And I write these things to you, and I preach these things to you, that you sin not. You don't have to keep living that way. You're not in a trap, in a box, you're not tied up, locked down. Praise God, the chains have been broken. The gate is open. Jesus came to save you from your sins. I am free now to serve God. I'm free to live right. I'm free to love. I'm free to forgive. I can do it now. I didn't used to be able to. Now I can. I can forgive now. I can live holy. I can overcome temptation. I used to didn't have any power at all over it. But now I can. I can overcome. Because of Jesus. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, set free. My little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. If anyone sins, we have an advocate, a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. No question. But that's not the point. The point is I write these things to you that you sin not. If you sin, praise God, we've got someone who will forgive us. But I tell you, that's really living at a low level. We need to get over that level of just being forgiven all the time and just quit the sinning. Think about it. Would you rather just continually be forgiven of things you're doing wrong, or would you like to just quit doing the things wrong? I'd a whole lot rather just quit doing them, wouldn't you? I'd a whole lot rather quit coming to God over and over about this thing. Now, I'm going to keep coming till I get over this thing, but God's will is that I get over it. His will is that I overcome it. Would you rather just get healed over and over, keep coming to God and getting a divine healing, or would you like to walk in divine health? I'd a whole lot rather just walk in divine health. But as long as there's sickness, I'm going to keep coming and get that healing. Are you with me? But health is better than healing, and holy living is better than forgiveness. And what God really intended for us is for us to sin not. That's what He intended. And we have a power now as Christians, believers, as the church, that we did not have before we accepted Jesus. And that power is power over sin. We got power over sin. Now, we may not know that. Maybe we hadn't been taught that. Maybe we bought the lie. You know, God understands who I am. He knows me. He knows me. God knows, you know, God knows me. You know, I got this little problem. No, it's really a sin. I got this little issue. No, it's just a sin. And the Ten Commandments, they're just that. They weren't 10 suggestions or 10 great ideals. They were 10 commandments. Now, Jesus has come along giving us the ability to keep them. Now, we're not going to be perfect at it. Obviously, you're not going to always believe and always do what you should do, and there is forgiveness. But you should be getting better at this thing. Because you are a sin overcomer. That's what you were born to do. In fact, turn over to Romans. I'll tell you what, before I do that, turn to John 5. John 5. Well, my clock's crooked like this right here, so if I go to where I think I'm supposed to go, I'll keep you 5 minutes late. But John 5. Is this helping you? John the 5th chapter. Now, this is an amazing story. This is the Pool of Bethesda. You know where the man was lame there at the Pool of Bethesda, and Jesus came along, and there was a certain time that an angel would come down and trouble the water, and whoever stepped into the water first was healed of whatever disease they had. So there's a lot of sick people around this pool. And so Jesus comes along. This man's 38 years with this infirmity. Sixth verse, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" I think that's a big question we often need to ask ourselves. Yeah. I wish God would do something. Well, God's waiting for you to do something. He's waiting for you to come up and ask and, you know, be set free. Sometimes we get used to our sin or used to our sickness, and we're really not passionate about getting well or getting over it. Sometimes we get some pity even sometimes from things that are, hello. Now, I don't, you know, you understand how I'm saying that. I'm not saying that bad about anybody. If you're sick, God loves you. I love you. We're not saying it's your sin. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying our attitude sometimes can be, when something goes wrong, to use it to get people. Not always, but sometimes we can do that. That's what this man was dealing with. Not everybody, but this man was dealing with that. And sometimes we can be that way. We almost kind of change our voice when we tell people what's wrong with us. Hello. Oh, well, got it so bad. Hello. Yeah, if you got it bad, you know, let's believe God. Nothing wrong with saying that and saying this, the doctor said this and that, but you know, I'm believing God. Would you believe with me? Would you pray with me? We'll sure do that. Amen? Because God wants you to come out of it. Well, Jesus asked him, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" Kind of a crazy question. Why would you ask somebody that? I mean, think about it. Do you just walk up to someone and say, "Oh, I see you're sick. Do you want to be well?" I mean, the natural response, they'll just slap you. What do you mean? I don't want to be sick. But evidently, some people do. Now, if this makes you mad, you're mad at Jesus, not me, okay? I didn't say this. But he had to get to this man to get him to start thinking about getting well. He said, "Do you want to be made well?" So here comes the excuses. Sick man answered and said, "Sir, I don't have a man to put me into the pool. Nobody knows the trouble I see. When the water stirred up, but while I'm coming down, another one steps down before me. Charlie Brown." Everybody's always picking on me. Had a million excuses why. You know, there may be a million reasons why you can't have what God says you can have, but all you need is one good one to get it.
That's right, amen.
All you need is one good reason.
Yeah.
And, of course, God's word is that reason, amen? So he's blaming the others, and Jesus said to him, "You rise, take up your bed and walk." Wow. He put it back on him. I think that's amazing. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man did. He got healed. He probably didn't realize he could do anything. He probably didn't think he could do anything about his situation. But see, that's where Jesus makes the difference. He comes in, and all of a sudden with Jesus, you can do something about your situation. If you're willing to rise up and be healed. Old song we used to sing, Pentecost Charismatic Moves, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Well, you got to rise. See, that's the point. You got to make the decision. You got to call. And if you will, Jesus has come to help you overcome the situation. The sin, the sickness, whatever the case may be. With Jesus, you got hope now. You got help now. And He's going to help you do it. He's going to help you overcome. Amen? So He did. He got up and He was healed. And it was amazing. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He got healed, and people started asking. The Jews said, well, who healed you? He said, I don't know. A guy come up and told me to take up my bed and walk, and I took it, and here I am. They were upset because he was holding that bed on a Sabbath day, which was work, and you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. They were mad. Now, but you talk about religious. This guy's got this bed. He's walking around. They're saying, what are you doing holding that bed on the Sabbath day? You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. He said, "The man, all I know is a guy came by. He said, rise, I took up, I was healed. I'm just taking my bed home. Y'all getting it? And they said, who is he? I don't know who he was. He didn't even know who he was. He just told me to take up my bed and walk. 13th verse. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, listen to this. See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.
Amen.
I think that's interesting that Jesus said sin no more. What does that have to do with anything? God forgives sin. Well, of course He does, but He didn't want you to keep sinning because it does have repercussion. It does have consequence. Notice Jesus didn't say just your sins be forgiven. He did that on many occasions. He said to the man sick of the palsy, let down through the roof, cheer up, your sins are forgiven you. And then He told him to take up his bed and walk, and he did. But here He said sin no more. I think we often miss that as Christians. We are forgiven, thank God. The price is paid, hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
He paid the price that I couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. There's a song that we sing along those lines. But see, more than that, He came that I don't have. See, He came to save me from my sin where I don't have to keep sinning.
Yeah.
Now here's a man, he didn't just say his sins are forgiven, he said sin no more. Sin no more. That's what God's telling us. He's saying, hallelujah, sin no more. I think we miss that, you know. Hallelujah, your sins are forgiven. Yeah, we'll get on that one. That's a good one. I like it. I'm for that. I'm with you. I'll be jumping and shouting too. But we miss the other point. Now sin no more. When we come to Jesus, we get forgiven, but we miss the other part of it where He says sin no more. You don't have to keep sinning. You've been freed from it. 8th chapter of John. Notice the 8th chapter of John. Here's another tremendous example. I wish I had time to get into it, but I want to get to just one point. This is the woman who was caught in a very act of adultery. And, of course, the Pharisees brought her, threw her down at Jesus' feet, and says, the law says, stone her, what do you say? And I always thought it was a cruel, religious sham going on here. Because they got this woman caught in an act of adultery, threw her down at Jesus' feet to make a point. They could care less about the woman. They just knew that Jesus would forgive her. I think that's interesting. The Jesus they knew, not the one we often know, the Jesus they knew was a forgiver. He forgave sin. He didn't condemn people. Many churches, we have a Jesus that just goes condemning people for all their sin and everything they do wrong. See, there's a balance between saying sin's bad and it's wrong and standing up for what's right. There's a balance between standing in the pulpit and saying, you know what, this is a sin, doesn't matter how popular it is in the world. It doesn't matter how political it is in the world. If it's in the Bible, it is a sin. There's a balance between calling it a sin and then not condemning the sinner.
Amen.
See, and that's where we, I think, missed it sometimes in churches. We'll condemn the sinner from the standpoint of we don't give them a chance to repent. We don't give them a chance to be restored. We don't hate people. We don't hate sinners. fact, our door is open. Bring them in. If they will come, if they want to repent, if they want to be free, come on, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. Are you with me? Adultery, lying, homosexuality, these are all sins. But you know, God doesn't hate these people. He doesn't hate people. He hates sin. And there's restoration. My God, if the church is not about restoration, what are we about? If it's not about getting people back on their feet again, getting them back to living a holy life and overcoming that sin, then what in the world are we about? We're not about excommunicating people, closing the doors to the world. No, come on, bring them in here. If they want to repent, if they'll come to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So here's this woman, and the thing that always upset me is, where was the man? You don't hear one thing about the man. If she was committing adultery, there must have been a man involved. They didn't bring him there. They didn't throw him down. See, that's religion. Religion's hard on a woman. And they threw her down and said, you know, we caught her in a very act of adultery. The law says, stone her. What do you say? Jesus said, well, he's without sin. Let him cast the first stone. Of course, they all walked out from the oldest to the youngest. And then he looked at the woman. He says, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, well, there are none. 11th verse, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Everybody say, sin no more.
Sin no more.
Y'all get that? He forgave her, but what did he tell her?
Sin no more.
Sin no more. God does forgive us, but he doesn't want us to keep sinning. In fact, he came to release us, to save us, to deliver us, to rescue us from our sin. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Y'all getting this? This will help you. You know, every one of us has something, I'm sure, that we have to deal with, something you come back to God over and over with. Anybody join me in this? You don't have to confess it. Anybody have something you seem like you just keep coming back to God about this thing? You know, I'm the only one with my hand up. Thank you, Fred. Mo, good. Good deal. Thank y'all for coming. Okay. The rest of y'all won't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, every one of us have these things we keep coming back with. You know what? You don't have to keep coming back with it. You can overcome it. You need to attack that thing. You need to quit saying, I just keep doing it. Quit saying it. Start saying, I'm going to stop this in the name of Jesus. Jesus came to save me from this sin. Maybe you're critical. I don't know. You know those. I mean, these are things we deal with. I mean, you know, we tend to be critical. We tend to be negative. We tend to get angry. Those are. I mean, I could talk about adultery and lying, homosexuality, all these other things. Those are obvious, evident things. But sometimes we kind of cover over things, and we think it's our temperament or our personality, you know, just the way I am. It's just the way I am, bless God. Yeah, and it's killing you. It's killing you and everybody around you. And one day you're going to be an old man or old woman, and you're going to be an old, mean, senile, hateful. Because if you don't deal with this thing, it's going to take you over. Hello. It will captivate you. And Jesus came to deliver you, to rescue you. This is the way we ought to look at people in sin. This is the way we ought to look at people addicted to sin. This is the way we ought to look at people that are out there. They're people that need to be rescued.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Amen. Lest you get self-righteous, start looking down at people in sin. We've all been in sin. They need to be rescued. So praise God, Jesus came to rescue us.
Amen.
I never look at anybody lost out there where I don't think about me before I got saved. He saved me, he saved them. He delivered me, he delivered them. All they need is to say, and I say all the time, all they need is Jesus, that's all. That's all they need. Because he'll deliver them, amen? He delivered me. Romans 12, this actually is our theme for Hallelujah Night. We've taken a night that traditionally has a lot of vandalism and violence and so on going over and celebrating witches and everything else. We've taken the thing over and called it Hallelujah Night. And this year we had on our T-shirts, this is our theme, our slogan, motto, whatever, for it. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
That's it.
I like that. Now, what that tells me is that evil causes us to be overcome. Good causes us to be overcomers.
That's good.
Isn't that right? If we give in to evil, we'll be overcome. If we give in to good, we'll become overcomers. So, what do? Well, you replace the evil with the good. You do good instead of the evil, and you overcome. You mad at somebody? Forgive them and call somebody else up and encourage them. Feeling kind of down, depressed? Call somebody up and lift them up. Overcome evil with good. Feel a temptation to sin or do something wrong? Just do the opposite of that thing. Actively participate in good. Overcome the evil with the good. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, yeah, you can. You can do it. God said you can do it. 1 John 5. Okay, close, coming to a close here. 1 John 5. Let me look at my what? Yeah, clock. Looking good. 1 John 5. This helping you?
Amen.
Praise God, I'm an overcomer. 1 John 5, 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot Jesus loves Him who is begotten, that's you and me, of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, hard, and grievous. It's not hard to keep the commandments of God. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. What's he talking about? Overcoming sin. That's what he's talking about. If we're born of God, we can overcome sin. We've been born to overcome sin. This is our destiny, hallelujah. This is what I was born to. I got royal blood running through my veins. I'm a thoroughbred blood sin overcomer. I'll get it all out in a minute. So it says here, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Praise God.
I believe that. Do you believe that? That makes me a sin overcomer. Just by virtue of my faith in Christ Jesus, I now have ability to overcome sin. I'm not just forgiven of it. I am a sin overcomer. I'm a sin defeater. A sin overcomer. It doesn't overcome me, I overcome it. Okay, last verse. One more. Can I give you one more verse? 1 Peter. I'm telling you, I got so many verses here, I can't get to them all. This is good. This is good. Oh, you'll love this one. Oh, yeah. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. This is the last one. This is it, final. I can do this in Jesus' name. I can close this out. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You know what he did? It says here that he bore my sins, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Jesus' death and burial and resurrection was done so I could live for God. Y'all get it? He bore my sins on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live to righteousness now. Because I've died to sin now because of what Jesus did. So now I can live for God now. He freed me from my sin. That's what he came to do. And by his stripes, well, I was healed. Isn't that good? I'm healed of my diseases and I've overcome my sin through Christ Jesus. Now, you may not know that. You may not be taking advantage of that, but the truth still remains. That's what Jesus came to do. And if we're missing out, it's our fault, not his, because he did his part. Now all we got to do is start walking in the victory. As Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Everybody say stand fast.
Stand fast.
That's what we're going to do, stand fast in this liberty. What liberty? The liberty that Christ has made us free with. What liberty is that? Free from sin. I don't have to hate, I can love. I don't have to sin. I can live holy. I don't have to give in to this thing. I can overcome this thing. I was born to overcome it. Jesus came and freed me from my sin. Hallelujah.